Chapter 16, In Gethsemane.
The Savior's life on earth was one of constant prayer. He spent many hours alone with God and often made earnest petitions to his heavenly Father. Thus he received strength and wisdom to sustain him in his work and to keep him from falling under the temptations of Satan. After eating the Passover supper with his disciples, Jesus went with them to the Garden of Gethsemane. There he often spent time in prayer. As they walked along, he talked with them and taught them, but when they neared the garden, he became strangely silent. All his life, Jesus had lived in the presence of his Father. The Spirit of God had been his constant guide and support. He always gave God the glory for his works on earth and said, "I can of myself do nothing." John 5:30. We can do nothing by ourselves. It is only by relying on Christ for all our strength that we can overcome sin and temptation and do his will on earth. We must have the same simple childlike trust in Jesus that he had in his Father. Christ said, "Without me, you can do nothing." John 15:5. The terrible night of agony for the Savior began as they neared the garden. It seemed that God's presence, which had been his constant support, was no longer with him. He was beginning to feel what it was to be shut out from his Father. Christ must bear the sins of the world. As they were now laid upon him, they seemed more than he could endure. The sense of the guilt of sin was so terrible that he was tempted to fear that God could no longer love him. As the terrible displeasure of the Father against evil overwhelmed him, the words were forced from him, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." Matthew 26:38. Jesus had left all his disciples near the gate of Gethsemane, except for Peter, James, and John. They went into the garden with him. The three of them were his most earnest followers and had been his closest companions, but he could not bear that even they should witness the suffering he was to endure. "Stay here and watch with me," verse 38, he said to them. Christ went a short distance away and collapsed upon the ground. He felt sin separating him from the Father. The gulf between them appeared so broad, so black, so deep, that he shuddered before it. Our Savior was suffering not for his own sins, but for those of the world. He was feeling God's displeasure against sin, as sinners will feel it in the great judgment day. In his agony, Christ clung to the cold ground. From his pale lips came the bitter cry, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Verse 39. For an hour, Christ endured this terrible suffering alone. Then he returned to the disciples, hoping for some word of sympathy, but they were asleep. They awoke at the sound of his voice, but they hardly recognized him. His anguish had greatly changed his face. Turning to Peter, he said, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour?" Mark 14:37. Just before Jesus and all the disciples had reached Gethsemane, Christ had said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night." Mark 14:27. They had assured him that they would go with him even to prison and to death. And poor, self-sufficient Peter had added, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Verse 29. But the disciples trusted in themselves. They did not look to the mighty helper as Christ had counseled them to do. So when the Savior most needed their sympathy and prayers, he found them asleep. Even Peter was sleeping. And John, the loving disciple who had leaned upon the breast of Jesus, was also asleep. Surely John's love for his master should have kept him awake. His earnest prayers should have mingled with those of his loved Savior at the time of his great agony. The Redeemer had spent whole nights in praying for his disciples, that their faith might not fail in the hour of trial. Yet they could not remain awake with him even 1 hour. Had Christ now asked James and John, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Mark 10:38. They would not have answered so readily as they did before. "We are able," verse 39. Pity and sympathy at the weakness of his disciples filled the Savior's heart. He feared that they could not endure the test that his suffering and death would bring upon them. Yet he did not scold them for their weakness. He thought of the trials ahead of them. "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation," Matthew 26:41, he said. He made an excuse for their failure in their duty toward him. "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak," verse 41. What an example of the Savior's tender, loving concern. Again, superhuman agony seized the Son of God. Fainting and exhausted, he staggered back into the garden and again prayed, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Verse 42. The agony of his prayer forced drops of blood from his pores. Again he sought the disciples for sympathy, and again he found them sleeping. But they woke up as he approached. They stared at his face with fear, for blood covered it. They could not understand the mental anguish that his face revealed. A third time he sought the place of prayer. A dark horror overcame him. He had lost the presence of his Father. Without this, he feared that in his human nature he could not endure the test. The third time he prayed the same prayer as before. Angels longed to help him, but they could not rush to his aid. The Son of God must drink this cup, or the world would be lost forever. As he struggled there, he saw humanity's helplessness. He saw the power of sin over people. The woes of a doomed world passed in review before him. At last he made the final decision. He would save the human race no matter what the cost to himself. Jesus had left the courts of heaven, where all is purity, happiness, and glory, to save the one lost sheep, the one fallen world. Nothing would stop him from his purpose. His prayer now revealed only submission to the divine plan. "If this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." The Savior now fell dying to the ground. No disciple was there to place his hand tenderly beneath his master's head and bathe that brow. Christ was alone. But God suffered with his Son. Angels beheld the Savior's agony. Heaven watched in hushed silence. Could humanity have viewed the amazement of the angelic host as in silent grief they watched the Father separating his beams of light, love, and glory from his beloved Son, it would better understand how offensive sin is in his sight. A mighty angel now came to Christ's side. He lifted the head of the divine sufferer against his chest and pointed toward heaven. The angel told him that he had won against Satan. As the result, millions will be victors in his glorious kingdom. A heavenly peace rested upon the Savior's blood-stained face. He had borne that which no human being can ever bear. Jesus had tasted the sufferings of death for every person. Again, Christ sought his disciples, and again he discovered them sleeping. Had they remained awake, watching and praying with their Savior, they would have received help for the trial before them. But because they had slept, they had no strength in their hour of need. Looking sadly at them, Christ said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners." Verse 45. Even as he spoke, he heard the footsteps of the mob in search of him. "Rise, let us be going," he said. "See, my betrayer is at hand." Verse 46.